Army, and we repaired trucks, tanks, scout cars, heavy artillery, light artillery, machine guns and rifles and whatever else they had, instruments. We done all that work. If they came in, that's what we done. And if they wanted to, in the section where I was in, the ordnance company has sections into it, automotive, artillery, small arms, instrument sections, supply sections, and what I was in was a service, what they call a service section, where all the mechanics, the machinists and welders and carpenters, leather workers, everything, they were all in there, and it was attached to headquarters company. So that's the way that worked. But done a lot of awfully, a great deal of automotive work, because a lot of trucks, that the automotive was the biggest section, because, and while we're there, somebody wrecked one of the trucks in there. Come to find out before we left for Germany, this one guy, he wanted to go to Germany with us. All crap, he even brought his wife down to try and you're not going with us. Come find out he was a German spy. Is in there.
Yeah. Wow.
They caught him afterwards. He was French, but he was a collaborator. We did take a Frenchman with us, Charlie. Charlie was all right. Charlie was a Frenchman. He didn't like the Germans either.
Was he in the army, or
no,
was he a translator?
No, he was just a civilian.
Okay, he was just...
We employed some civilians.
Okay, yeah. What was their role?
Whatever we told them to do. Charlie was a cutter, oxyacetylene. He was all right. And then when we was in Germany, we were going to box up to go to Japan. We were getting ready to go to Japan when the war was over. And we had German civilians building the boxes for us to put our equipment in. We were getting ready to, the train was ready and everything else. And I had my number of days in, and I says, no, boy, I went to Le Havre and got on that victory boat to come home.
So they let you go there rather than go to Japan?
Yeah, I had enough points to get out.
Oh, I understand. They worked on a point system.
Yeah, I was on a point system back in those days. I think I had 114 or something like that. You get just enough to get out. Yeah. Yeah, it was all on a point system. There's so many days in there, you get so many points for it. If you're overseas, you get so many more points and all like that. So we got out. I got out.
How many did you need for a discharge?
I can't tell you that. I'd have to. I don't know whether I could look. I don't know. Didn't need to. Well, for discharge? Oh, you didn't have any.
To go home, basically.
Oh, to go home. Yeah, I think I had to have. I had enough. I don't know what it was, 114, 124. Something like that, points. Yeah. There was an awful ride across that North Atlantic in that boat.
Yeah, tell me about that trip home.
Well, I didn't think, you know, when I went over, it was just as smooth as a mill pond. And we come across that North Atlantic in one of those victory boats in March. And that was just like a cork on the ocean, like a cork. We were bouncing all over, and it was rocking back and forth and up and down. Some of those people, they never got out of their bunks. We had a bunch of girls in on it with us. I don't know what they were. They was over there entertaining, you know. We had a lot of entertainment guys, people. Bob Hope was over there one time. And I don't know how many. I never went to see them. I didn't make pay much attention. But they never got out of their bunks. Me, didn't seem bother me. I like go up in the front and watch the waves. No, it really didn't bother me. But you could, that were rolling so that your feet would be in the water when it rolled over, and then it go back up again, and you couldn't see that it must have been 20 feet or 30 to the water. I'm telling you, it's a wonder we got home. I've thought about it, but I didn't think anything about it then. The heck. They didn't have any stuff into them to keep them, you know, keep them down. They didn't have much ballast into them or anything like that. They were empty, and they rolled them around. But that North Atlantic, don't go over that thing in March, unless you got a boat about the size of the Titanic, and that's at the bottom. No, I haven't been on the ocean since.
So did you arrive to? Did it take you to New York City, or where did it land in a?
They deposited us in New York City at the port.
What was that reception like when you arrived there?
Oh, cripe! I don't know. You got off the boat, got on a truck, and went over to camp. What was that? Fort Dix. I didn't have it. There was no parades. No parades whatsoever. I don't know if they had. They must have had some parades for somebody. But as far as I'm concerned, they just took us over there and processed us and took the clothes and give us a ticket to go home. That was it.
So after your discharge and this process, where'd you go? Just come here?
Yeah, I come home. I've been home ever since.
Tell me about how you felt upon being reunited with your parents and your sister.
Oh, it was a good feeling. I was glad to be back. I don't know. It was an experience. It was quite an experience. But they were glad to see me. Yeah, and I was glad to be back here. So I started up a shop. I didn't want my own shop, so I run that. After a while, I got married. Then she died. I don't know.
So, just tell me about how you got yourself started in your career. What were you seeking to do for you know, a living?
Well, machinist work, that's all I knew. I didn't want to do any farm work, I'll tell you that. So I scrounged around, got some machine tools, set up a little shop down here. At that time, there was a lot of farmers around here, a lot of them, and they need something done every once in a while, you know, all the while. And it was all right, but nowadays there's only two or three farms, and they're big ones around here now. But there was a lot of them around in those little farms, maybe 20, 30 cow dairies, you know. And then there's a few people that wanted things to do other than farm work. And I was busy all the while.
So how'd the skills that you learned in the Army translate into your civilian career?
They were very useful. Very useful. Yeah. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to do that if it wouldn't have been for the things I learned in Aberdeen. And I liked that type of work. You got to like your type of work. If you want to get anywhere, you gotta like it.
Mm-hmm.
You're But I didn't like, I didn't like somebody, I didn't like people talk and tell me what to do.
That's why you went into business for yourself?
Yeah.
So what sort of jobs did you do for people of this area?
You name it. Oh, I built stanchions for them. I mended their equipment. I made elevators for their hay elevators. I made grain elevators. I mounted tanks on trucks for oil, you know. I built hay trucks, put the big racks on the bottom, made them racks onto them. I made a lot of, I don't know whether you notice them around here, these oil tanks that are set up, not around here, I'm talking, this is just pointing around, for farmers to put gasoline and fuel oil in, you know, I made a bunch of them. There's a fellow down in Fort Plain, he had an oil business, and he wanted tanks, and he'd buy the tanks, and I'd get the angle iron and put them all up on 5-6 feet, put them up there in the air, and so they could gravity feed into the tanks. Then one fellow, he was over here at Richfield. He wanted to, he was going into the oil business, and he bought a bunch of trucks bodies, and I had to mount the tanks onto them things so he could put them in. And also one job I had was for Express there. Not the Federal Express, but the other one. I forget what it is now. They come in with a bunch of trucks, and I had to cut them in two, just the frames, you know, and cut them in two and extend them, make them bigger. I done a lot of crap. Done a lot of things.
So, what sort of competition did you have in your line of work?
Much. Oh, there was a few here and there. Maybe one in Cooperstown, a welder in Cooperstown. But a fellow in Richfield, but he didn't do too much. He was getting out of it. So, but nowadays the farmers have all got their own machines, you know, and they can have cob house it together, as they say. So, but I didn't do that. I make sure they welded, cut off the ends of plow shears. I don't know whether you know anything about plowing or anything, and put new ends onto them for them. You could buy ends, you know, mm-hmm. about that long. Mm-hmm. Cut them back and put them on there, weld them on. Really crazy.
So you were talking about the oil business, you know, getting started out here. I know there's a lot of discussion regarding environmental issues, like fracking around this area.
What
are your feelings on this matter?
Well, it don't really make much difference to me. I don't expect to be around here when that stuff gets up here, if it ever does. I don't know. It's a lot of rumors, you know. I don't think that maybe they'll drill around here. There's gas around here. I don't know. This is in that Marcellus Shale district. But they've drilled down there in Pennsylvania for years. You got oil wells out there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You had any trouble with them?
Not that
is it polluted your water?
Not that
of course you don't. You get it from Lake Mead anyway.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's all rainwater. We get this here water I get is all from, we're all drilled wells here. A lot of us are drilled wells. There's no, the Delta Dam down here below, that's for New York City. But they don't tell you what that chemicals are in there, but evidently it must be some kind of radiation, radioactive, because they talk a little bit about radioactive.
From the natural gas?
Well, I think it's in the stuff that they put in to crack the rock. My gosh, all that is pumping water down there, millions and millions of gallons, and this stuff is mixed in with the water, and it's supposed to break the rock up in there to let the gas out. They're down, well, they start about 1,000 feet down, and they go on down, depends, maybe 10,000 feet. But to me, it's going to be quite a long time before that stuff seeps up through the rock to me. I don't know. They won't be up around the casing in there, because they pour that full of concrete around the sides of that for about 50 or 100, 200 feet. So I know they're all against it. A lot of them are against it. But what gets me is that if they sell out to these birds, they're going to, 9 times out of 10, they aren't going to get very much out of them, because these oil companies have got that pretty well sewed up. It's just like the ones, the Eskimos up there in Canada, in Alaska, they give the oil companies rights to go across their land up there, and they were going to give them so much and all this and that, but the oil companies built a big building down in Washington, glass windows and everything else into it, but they were talking to the Eskimos up in Canada, or up in Alaska, how much they were getting out of, and some of them says, oh, we get maybe $10 a year out of it. And they got a wooden shack up there for their headquarters. Now that's not right, I don't think. But I don't think they live up to what they tell them. They've got good lawyers, and they know how to word a contract. You didn't see that. You ever watch that? The Men That Made America. You ever get a chance to watch any of that on TV?
I'm not sure.
It's on the History Channel last night. It was about Rockefeller, J.P. Morgan, and Andrew Carnegie.
Mm-hmm.
How they were, I don't know, they got millions of, I don't know what it was. Did Carnegie sell out to Rockefeller for, I think it was $800,000, and today would be billions, something like that. That's when a dollar is worth a dollar.
Mm. So you don't find that these the companies preparing to do the fracking are very trustworthy? Do you think they're what about their intentions?
That's what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know myself. I couldn't. I'm not going to. But there's gas around here. I know that because it's blown my hat off once. Fell up here, just up on the hill here. He drilled a well up there by back of one of his houses to get water, and they went down 600 feet and they didn't get it. So he wants me to cut off the casing and so he can put a cap onto it. Well, I like that with a torch across the top, and it blew my hat off. It was full of gas.
Full of gas, like liquid gas?
No.
The vent.
Propane, you know, or not propane, but natural gas. But it once it blew, that was all there was to it. You could go ahead and do what you wanted with it. But there's gas around here. Yeah. plenty of it. I don't know whether we'd get any benefit. Maybe the farmers might get benefit out of it. So much a month, so much a year, maybe, if they have a good man reading their contract. Everything, the words are all in the contract. That's what you want to. You want to read the fine print. Lots of it. There's lots of it there.
Absolutely. Tell me about your wife.
She was a school teacher.
How'd you meet?
Oh, mutual friends. We met up here, monkeying around. Finally, we decided to get married. She was from, she taught down Naval Park. That's down back in east of Troy. And she came from Oswego, New York, up on the Lake Ontario. Mother and father, they had a fruit farm up there. That's what they... She was a very nice woman. Very good woman. Very, very good woman. But I don't know. She finally developed acute leukemia, and that's the end of you. If you're over 60 years old, you aren't going to get away from us. You got 6 months, and that's all. Otherwise, I don't know, she was all right. We never had an argument. Never had an argument. I did. It wasn't an argument. I went to work one morning. Everything was fine. She was going to make an apple pie. We had apples out here. She's going to make an apple pie. So I come up about 10 o'clock, and boy, she lit into me. Holy Moses, you're going to divorce me. She wasn't going to do any of this housework. She didn't get married to do this and this and that and the other thing. And I couldn't even get a word in edgeways. She was really wound up. Well, I says to her, well, we'll talk about this when we come back at noon. So I come back at noon, and she throws her arms around me. She said, I'm awful sorry for that. I didn't mean any of it. And I thought, what in the heck? She had a... Come to find out, the pie crust wouldn't roll out the way she wanted it, and it was... that she was mad as a hornet over that. Well, I says, what the heck are you doing? You throw it out. I don't... Well, throw that out. When I start something, I'm going to finish it. So that was that. Never had... That's the only time. That wasn't really a fight. That was just a statement. Maybe that's the way she felt. I don't know. She never said anything more about it. But then she up and got this. And that was it. Been gone for over 20 years, 20-some years.
Tell me about your wedding day and where you all lived here. I assume you lived here after you got married.
Yeah, we come back here. We had that in Oswego. We got married in a big Methodist church up there. Had a big, the old man really swung a soiree up there in the hotel. Gee, we must have had 150 people dinner. Must have cost him a little money. And then we finally went on a trip. We went up into Canada. Cripe, it must have been 2 weeks. Come down, went in at Niagara Falls and come all the way across Canada and down in New Brunswick and Nova Scotia, come back in. It was a nice trip, but I got tired. I had to stop because I couldn't take it. I had to lay down for a day or two to straighten out. I don't know why, but I thought I could take everything, but I can't. Now I can't take anything. But that's it.
Okay.
Got any other question there?
Absolutely. So, I just wanted to see, like, what sort of community leadership roles have you had?
Well, I'm not too much on politics. I was commissioner, fire commissioner for a while, and they had a insurance company here, and I was secretary treasurer of that for a while till they sold out. That's about it.
Well, tell me about the responsibilities of those two positions.
Well, I was secretary for the fire commissioners down here. That's all he had, just take the notes down, and when the next meeting you told them what they'd done and this and that and the other thing. And that insurance company, that was we were mixed up with the insurance commission down here in Albany, and they keep track of you and all on that. And they send around a auditor every year to check it on it. I didn't like that. I had it all right, but I maybe not had it in the right places, that's all. But he come from over around Edmonston someplace over in there. They had a great big, you had to, every quarter you had to fill out this book form, or cripe, the darn thing was about that, I'd say 2 feet by 1 foot, and all red, you know, all these crap inside of it. I wasn't up to that. The insurance company, it was a fire insurance company. If anybody burned out, or motors on things burned out, we just paid for it. That's all. There wasn't anything great about it. It was just, but the insurance outfit down there, I didn't like them either. I suppose they got to be done, but so we sold out to Mohawk Minden Insurance, and I guess they still got it. I don't know who's in it now anymore. It's all gone. That's quite a while ago.
So was this farmers mainly that were involved in this insurance?
Not necessarily, no. Anybody that wanted to sign up for and pay a premium could be into it. It wasn't a very big premium. We weren't in it to make a lot of money. We were just in there to help out the people. So
like if their barn burned down, their house burned down?
Yeah, see, we were reinsured, what they call it, reinsured with Gilderman. There's a place, an insurance reinsurance company called Gilderman. We were reinsured with them down there, so they backed us up all the while. But if it was greater than a certain amount, I don't know what that was, but motor on a cooler for a milking, you know, or something like that, or we just got them another motor, that's all. That's all they wanted, so they could go back to work.
Absolutely.
It wasn't great.
So did you go out on fires as part of the fire department?
No. I was one of the first people when they organized the fire company. I was in on that, but I never was a fireman. I went into the fire commissioner. I didn't like mucking around with that. I need younger people. No.
So what leadership role did you have as a commissioner?
Just, I said, secretary treasurer. Secretary. We had a woman for a treasurer, and I forget who was. They had a president, and no, but I never got into that. wasn't much of anything.